Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It is not enough to simply learn how and when Christ our Lord arose from the dead. We must also grasp the benefit of both his sufferings and his resurrection by faith. If we preach only its history, it is unprofitable to us. For even Satan and his horde know what happened on the cross and in the tomb even better than we do. Yet it is to grasp the promise by faith that makes the suffering and resurrection of Christ profitable, wholesome, and comforting to us. Christ himself pointed to this benefit of his suffering and resurrection when he said to Mary, "Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." These are the first words heard from Christ after his resurrection, by which he confirmed all the former utterances and loving deeds he showed them, namely that his resurrection triumphs for all who believe, so that he calls brothers those who believe, though we have not witnessed his resurrection. The risen Christ does not wait until we ask or call on him to become his brothers. And we have done nothing to earn such a treatment. For what did the apostles deserve? Peter denied his Lord 3 times. The others fled and abandoned him. He should have called them deserters, betrayers, scoundrels, anything but brothers. Therefore, his word is sent to them through his servant Mary, out of pure grace and mercy, as the apostles at the time keenly experienced, and we also experience when we are captive to our sins, temptations, and condemnation. These words are full of comfort. That Christ receives wicked and corrupt people like you and me, and he calls us brothers. Is Christ really our brother? If so, what can we be in need of? Just as it is among natural brothers, so it is here. Brothers enjoy the same possessions. They have the same Father and one inheritance. So we enjoy with Christ the same possessions, and have in common with him one Father and one inheritance, which never decreases by being distributed as others do, but instead it even grows larger and larger, for this truly is a spiritual inheritance. An earthly inheritance decreases when it is distributed among persons. But he who has part in this spiritual inheritance has it all. However, what is Christ's inheritance? It is none other than life and death, sin and grace, all that is in heaven and on the earth, eternal truth, power, wisdom, and righteousness. He governs and rules over all, over hunger and thirst, over fortune and misfortune, over everything imaginable, whether in heaven or on earth, not only spiritual, but also over all secular affairs. And the sum total of all is his. He has all things in his hand, be they eternal or temporal. Now, if I believe on him, I become a partaker with him in all his possessions, to obtain not only a part or a piece, but like him, I obtain all, even eternal righteousness, eternal wisdom, eternal strength, and become a Lord and reign over all. The stomach will not hunger. Sins will not oppress. I will no more fear death, no more be terror-stricken by Satan, and I will never be in want. I will be like Christ the Lord himself. In the light of this, we now easily understand the sayings in the prophets and the Psalms, as when David in Psalm 34 says, "The young lions do not lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And in Psalm 37, "The Lord knows the days of the perfect, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be put to shame in the time of evil, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied." All this comes from the fact that we are and are called Christ's brothers, not because of our worthiness, but because of God's pure grace. Yes, if God gave us this in our heart so that we experience it, then we would be saved. It is that Paul praises so highly and strongly to the Romans in chapter 8 when he says, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. The title of being Christ's brothers is so high that the heart of man cannot understand it. If the Holy Spirit does not give this grace, no one can say, "Christ is my brother." Although one might say it with a tongue, it is necessary for the heart to hold it. Otherwise, it is pure hypocrisy. We should stir ourselves to hear this then, not only with the natural ear, but also to grasp it by faith, that it would surprise and amaze us. True God, true and godly Christians go along life in contempt of themselves and in fear. They think, "Shall I, a poor, miserable person steeped in sin, be now so exalted that God's Son becomes my brother? How is it that I, a poor, miserable creature, am in this way so honored? I am at once confused by it and feed upon it." For it truly requires a great effort for us to believe it. Yes, when one grasps its truth by faith, he must from that hour die. For man, since he is flesh and blood, cannot understand it. He must, here in this life, man's heart is too weak to lay hold of it. But after his death, when the heart becomes larger and broader in his new birth, we experience what we have heard through the word. "But go unto my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." This is one of the great, most great and comforting passages upon which we can venture, and of which we dare to boast. as if Christ had said, "Go hence, Mary, and say to my disciples who have deserted me on the field of battle, and who have well merited punishment and eternal condemnation, that my resurrection has taken place for their benefit. That is, by my resurrection, I have brought it to pass that my Father is their Father, that my God is their God." These are few and very short words, but they contain a great thought, namely, that we have a great confidence and refuge in God the Father, as Christ has, his Son, who can grasp such exceeding joy, unless one speaks of himself even when he says that a poor corrupt sinner can and may be called God, may call God his Father and his God, just as Christ himself does. Therefore, go in peace and joy, knowing that this King, who in his glory sits at the right hand of God his Father, says to you, a poor sinner, "You are my brother." Receive these words in earnest, for on these words hang our highest comfort and courage against sin, against death, against Satan and hell, against law, and against all misfortune, both of body and of soul. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.